There was an old retired bishop who used to like to help the current bishop with the confirmations. And so he would go to parishes during confirmation season. And he was an old man, and like most old men, his hearing wasn't that great. And like most old men, he was pretty stubborn, so he would hardly ever use his hearing aids that the doctor had given him. But as he did all the time he was a bishop, before confirmation, he liked to speak with the kids. You know, ask them some questions, see if they knew a little bit about the faith that they're going to be confirmed in. And so he asked this class that was before him, he said, "Who do we as Catholics believe that God is as the Trinity? What does that mean that God is a Trinity?" So the middle school kids sat there, and of course, because they feel awkward saying anything in front of everyone, they didn't say a thing. So he asked them again, "Well, who do we believe the Trinity is?" And this one shy girl in the front, she raises her hand. She says in this quiet little voice, she's like, "We believe that God is one and three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." And the bishop kind of looks at her and he's like, "Huh? I don't understand." And she says, she's like, "It's okay, Bishop. It's a mystery. You don't have to understand it to believe it." This Sunday, the church holds before us what it speaks of as the central mystery of our faith. And when the church speaks about a mystery, it doesn't mean something we can't know anything about, but it's a mystery in that it's something that we can't exhaust the meaning of, that we can never completely wrap our minds around. And so it's this mystery that all we can do is enter into it. But it's the central mystery. The Trinity is the key to understanding everything. Not just in our faith, but everything. The Trinity is the key. Who God is. Who you are. It's the Trinity that unlocks that. Everything in creation, from the little flower with the pollen and the bee, all of that is in the image. It's this reflection of the Trinity. My own sinfulness, understanding something of the mystery of that, it finds its answer in the Trinity. Why in Memorial Day weekend, you know, when I'm out, I've got to have some drinks before I can talk with people? Well, because you were made for communion. You were made for communion. And that helps you to enter into it. Why do I suffer with all these other sins and my own pride and all this? Well, it comes back to who you are and who God is. All of it's unlocked by this great mystery of the Trinity. And when we hear, and so it's not just the theory of everything, it's the reality of everything. And when we hear of, you know, someone speak about the great mystery of the Trinity, our minds can go to thinking of, you know, all sorts of academic, abstract things. You know, where a priest can get up there on Trinity Sunday and you could throw out all sorts of big Greek words, homoousios, right? Which is all about the Trinity. But the Trinity is not just something for the professors and priests. This is the beauty of our Christian faith. That the faith is accessible not just to the professors but to the smallest child. And the greatest mysteries of our faith, the greatest mysteries are accessible to every person. St. Augustine, who's one of the greatest minds in all of history, and he wrote this great book, De Trinitatis, on the Trinity, over 1,000 pages. And you guys know the story. What unlocked for him this greater understanding of who God is in the Trinity, you know who it was? It was a small child. He's walking along the beach on the shore of North Africa, trying to wrap his mind around the Trinity, sees this child going back and forth in the water in this hole he made, trying to put the water in. He's like watching for a while. He's like, "What are you doing?" "I'm trying to fit the ocean into this hole. He's like, you can never do that, and you know the rest of it, right? The child's like, well, that's you trying to understand the Trinity. But there's a deeper thing going on there. And what Augustine speaks about, that the teaching and the truth of who God is, and who the Trinity is much like the ocean, but even deeper. You can see something of it. You can feel the effect of its power, but it's something so much more than even that. It's something so much more. And this is some of the most fundamental things in our faith as well. Who God is, who you are, who God is. God is the creator. He's all powerful. He's the judge. He is that, but you know what? He's also something so much deeper than that as well. We believe that as Christians. So do the Jews. So do the Muslims. But what do we believe that's something so much deeper than just that? What do we believe? What is this greater revelation of what God has revealed to us in the New Testament? Through the sending of the second person of the Trinity. That God is love. Yes, he is creator. He's all powerful. But there's something more. There's something deeper. That God is this trinity of persons. He is love, which means we're able to enter into his life. We're able to enter into an actual real relationship with him. Not just a slave to a master. And we think, oh, well, that's so simple. That's so childlike. God is love. Da, da, da. That's the deepest truth of our faith. Who are you? Who is God? Who are you? You ask a child, who are you?
Talon.
Who do you belong to? Ooh, you're a smart one. You belong to God. You're jumping one step ahead of me even. Who do you belong to, like, in this earthly world here? Just the earthly world. To your mom and your dad, right? A child, their most fundamental identity of who they are is a name. Did you name yourself? Did you give yourself that name? No, you received it. Who did you receive it from? The ones who you belong to. From your family. And you belong to that family. You belong to the Wosepka family. Right? And that's who you are. And that you're a son of your mom and your dad. This is on the realm of nature. But something more has been revealed to us of who we are. Something even deeper than that. Even deeper than your human blood. And it's been revealed to us from him, from Jesus. Who are you? What is your identity? Your name is Beloved. Who do you belong to? You belong to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You belong to him. You're part of his family, the church. And this is your deepest identity of who you are. Your identity, who you are. When God is taken from the center of that, when God is removed from the picture, one's identity becomes something else. Who are you? A person can identify themselves with their work, but you're not that. You're not identified by your work or your hobbies. Your identity does not come from who you're attracted to. Your identity does not come from your sins that you struggle with. Your identity doesn't come from what other people think about you. But when you remove God, you remove the very core of who you are, and you become lost. But the foundational thing of who you are is you are beloved of God. And if you think that that's some childish thing, then you haven't dived into the ocean of that, because that has the depth which no one can ever get to the bottom of because you can only enter into it. All the greatest spiritual doctors of the church, everything comes back to them for that, that God is love, and he's revealed himself to us, and he is love, and so we're able to enter into a real relationship with him. You're able to enter into the depth of that ocean, through prayer and worship and adoration of God. And the more one enters into that, the more one comes to understand something of the mystery of not just who God is, but also who you are as one who at the core of your being and before anything else is beloved of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.